Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book.
It's going by. And welcome to a modified program tonight. Revelation Radio, give me a last minute, can't make it. Yeah, we'll have to discuss with them here in the future about that. Yep, I think it's time. Welcome to a partial Revelation Radio Network show tonight with Watchmen for Jesus. It's Watchmen for Jesus minus Revelation Radio Network. Isn't that the beauty of having your own network? Interesting how God works, isn't it? Well, I almost just didn't at all, and I said, well, at least I do is have a handful of folks here tonight. I have no idea who's going to show up from Revelation Radio Network. So, I'm going to give you a modified one. We'll see how far it goes, but you know me. Apparently, I didn't get the message from my phone. Don't know why. But in any case, I said it sent out about 5 hours ago. So I don't know about that. Anyway, she says it did, and they did, but somehow or another. Okay, hold on 1 second. So... it's a little unusual, so I got to regroup here, and we march on to a certain extent. And I do have something for you, and I tell you what, these things happen every now and then. And if this is the worst people got to worry about, we have to worry about, other people have to worry about, we got some problems. These are small things, family. These are small things. Just practice. For the Super Bowl. You know, people are focused on Ebola. Oh, that's right. They now have 1,000 alleged children that are under some kind of virus now in America. They say, of course. But then again, 2009, when Obama was president, they had 1,000 people that died. And they didn't. It was also a lie. It was to get folks to take that vaccine. Family, in 2009, they were going to start the pandemic. They had lied and said, and you can look it up right now just for the kicks of it, that 1,000 people had died from the H1N1 flu. Well, that never happened. 1,000 didn't die from the flu. So that was a fluke. A false report in international news in 2009. It was a lie. So they had to get rid of all the stocks. We call it stocks, or the all the vaccines, the millions of them that they had acquired. And they had to get rid of them. Because they weren't ready for it. Nobody was buying it, or whatever happened. And what they had planned on doing, they were going to say that everybody needed one. All the schools had to get their shots. People at work had to get their shots. And then would be the second shot, and that was to start the pandemic and the death in 2009. It's called the Cytoline Storm. C-Y-T-O-L-I-N-E. Storm. At one time, it took three shots, and they got it down to two, to where a first shot would counter against the second shot, and it'd start the pandemic. That would start the pandemic. You know, don't tell me God's not in control of this. People have no idea out there. You all that's still left here right now that listen to my broadcast, you know, people outside of our circle of influence that we all have here, they have no idea. I mean, I don't know what, you know, it's like you're watching a train wreck getting ready to happen on top of a hill. And then when you try to tell people, they run away from you because they say, oh, that's ridiculous. There's no way that would do that, or they would do that to us. There's no way, when you know with evidence, with irrefutable, virtually irrefutable, that in fact it is happening. And this conspiracy is so real. And tonight, just tonight even, when I was preparing, I was trying to figure out what I was going to talk about. I always wait the last minute because that's what it's been for 5 years. And then I get started. Something comes over me and I start talking. And just tonight, I was putting together, it came together about the protocols, the report from Iron Mountain, the Humanist Manifesto, and the 21 Goals Illuminati. I said, man, that's a lot of stuff. And I realized how vast it really is. Think of it like this. Those of you that are baby boomers, a little bit after, you remember the Ed Sullivan Show. I guess they have them now, and maybe they have it in America's Got Talent or something, where the guy starts off with plates on a stick, and he starts twiddling, starting to do the plates with one stick, and then he goes another one, then he goes another one, and he puts up like 15 or 20, and then he's going from one to the other, to the other, to the other, you know, and he's got all the plates in the air spinning around, one guy. Well, no, they've got one guy per stick, with 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 plates in the air, and one guy with a backup for each one is twisting his plates. While one person is watching them, who's the head. That's what's going on today. And each plate is a method by which to bring us to the New World Order that's talked about in the Bible. And where the preachers today, 90% of them, 95% have failed, is that they have taught people that the Bible is a history book. No. It's not just a history book. It's telling you where we came from beyond the ages in the past. It's saying where you're going beyond the ages in the future, and everything that's happened in between. That's what the Bible is. People don't realize that. And there's only one. And that's the King James Bible. I'll tell you right now, if there was two or three, I'd be pushing it myself. I'd say, well, the NIV's okay, too. That King James Bible is okay. It's really good. It's probably the best one. I'd be saying that, but I can't. Because the King James Bible, irrefutably, is the only book on the face of this planet that's got the truth in it. Literally. Literally. And there's no way around it. And they don't want to believe that because it puts so much restrictions on what we do in our lives today. So to make people feel comfortable in their own skin, they try to dissuade it. Try to avoid it. Make it just go away. Make it just go away. I don't want to know. Yeah, well... It's not going to stop the train from coming. If there's any other way, you know, I'm driven in this broadcasting. Sometimes I say we'll only have four or five people, or got 50, got 100, I don't know. But I realize that it's not the numbers of people, is who they may talk to. That's how it works. I'm going to give a prayer. I'm going to talk briefly, and we'll see how far the briefly goes. And I use tonight as kind of a practice for tomorrow. But I got some interesting things to tell you all about the protocols and how far they've gone with them. And I'll start off with a basic concept of the protocols. The protocols go back to May the 1st, 1776, commissioned 1771. You understand automatic writing, right? How Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey, Spangler, and Bissett, how they got their knowledge. Tesla, Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo. They weren't skilled. They were channeled. They weren't skilled. They were channeled, overshadowed by the supernatural realm to give them the ideas, the thoughts, so they could bring them to fruition. You see, balls of light and energy don't have arms and legs and can't put things together. So they use human beings to do that for them. By giving mankind the ideas, and mankind, in three different ways, reaps rewards to keep them in track. So they use ego, pride, to keep them motivated before they kill them. It's like fattening up a cow. By rewards, Nobel Peace Prize, college degrees, Rhodes Scholarship, money, prestige, power, materialistic things, to keep them motivated. And then when they're done with them, they kill them. Sad. And you just try to find a way. The only way you can get across to people sometimes is supernatural. By prayer. Lord, tonight we thank you for coming together today and giving us a broadcast and a network, Father, that we can still have our own. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us in our lives, and Lord, to wake us up to the truth and so we can help others. Father, wake up others, Father, with the supernatural, with the Holy Spirit, to wake them up, to open their minds, their hearts, their soul, that, Father, your Holy Spirit will give knowledge. Father, we pray for our brethren, we pray for our country, we pray for, Father, we pray most of all for the return of Jesus Christ to this planet. Father, in these things we pray for tonight, we pray you guide us in this short broadcast, but Father, we call upon you to guide us tonight. This is what I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, family, I'm going to start off here by telling you, that there is a basic concept of the Illuminati called the protocols. And they have a basic outline of what they've done. Now, here's how it goes. You could technically say this protocols began exactly on May the 1st, 1776. And why would that be? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. The reason they did, yeah, well, this is kind of an informal broadcast tonight because Revolution Radio couldn't make it, but they did probably tell me and somehow didn't get through to me, so that's okay. Actually, earlier today, I had mentioned that they use triggers. They use what you need, what the culture needs to control us. What people are not doing, they say Ebola, they say ISIS, they say all these things. They're all connected. Everything's connected. To keep us distracted, as I talked earlier today about the example of what's important in our life and in the jar that I talked about, is that Satan keeps us not in the rocks, in the pebbles, but in the sand and the water to fill up the jar so the pebbles and the rocks can't fit. And the rocks are the biggest rocks and the most important things in your life. The pebbles are the least, are the next most important thing in your life. And the water and the sand are the least expected, you know, things that really don't matter in your life, but you do anyway. That's the short of it. I gave a longer explanation. And so, Satan goes backwards. Yeah, it works, don't it? He goes backwards. Instead of going from rocks to pebbles and sand and water, he goes, you know, water and sand in the glass, in the jar first. That way you can't fit the pebbles in. You can't fit the rocks in there. So you can't do what's most important. You can't do what's least next important. He keeps you busy with the water and the sand, so you can't fill the jar up with what's important. To fill the whole jar up, you do the rocks first, the pebbles, and you put the sand in there and then fill it up with water. These things get smaller, smaller, smaller. You see how it works? But if you go opposite, you can't. So what Satan does, the supernatural, the fallen angels, and all the areas of our lives, is to put the sand and water in there first, which means you don't have room for important things in life. Well, this conspiracy to keep you busy is so well thought out. It's just amazing. And they've got all those plates in the air all at one time. Everything. I mean, everything from the signing of the Magna Carta, using liberty, going back to the 13th century, June the 15th, no less. The reign of King John. Do you know that King John was in the bloodline of Queen Elizabeth II and Charlemagne? All of our presidents in that same royal blue bloodline that they don't marry outside of it? I mean, we're talking direct bloodline. We're not talking, oh yeah, I've got a great, great aunt that was, you know, this, that, and that. No, I'm talking about where they don't marry outside of it. It's a Nephilim bloodline. Copper-based bloodline. They got a copper-based DNA you and I don't have. You understand? So it goes to Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, King John, Charlemagne, all the way back, how far back? To the pharaohs of Egypt, who were hybrids. Wow. Amazing stuff. But they found out what you need. The signing of the Magna Carta was emphasizing personal liberty as a trigger, as a need. If it didn't have the need, they would present it. They would create it, so you would have a need. The founding of the French Republic, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, it all determined national policy. Man, it was brought to us by the enemy. They gave us the Declaration of Independence and fooled us all in the history books that Ben Franklin was a squatty little old man with funny-looking glasses, and he had a kite, and he collected electricity. Well, boy, you got to be kidding me. That's like Mother Goose rhymes. It's all nonsense. Every bit of it. The guy was a Satanist. He wasn't a little squatty guy. It was one evil individual, Ben Franklin. And then somebody that don't know this say, oh, how dare you talk about my Ben Franklin that way. Well, I am, because that's what he was. The Atlantic Charter and the Four Freedoms in the 1940s. The emancipation of the slaves. That was planned in the 17th century. By 1860, the Civil Rights Movement was planned at the same time. They put them in slavery. The emancipation of the slaves was brought by Lincoln. But Lincoln went rogue on them. Liberation of humanity by the United Nations. It's all about liberty. It's all a setup. They plan hundreds of years in advance. I mean, gosh, you know, sometimes I sit here in awe, but not too much, because I know they're going down. It's impossible for them to win. It's not possible. But see, Satan's got everybody down the road and connected, all fooled. Even the fallen angels are fooled, obviously, because they rebelled with him. So that means they don't know the future, do they? So, what about this? Well, they're time travelers from... No, they're not. Not at all. So, what does that tell you? that we got the highest level of our leaders totally fooled and bamboozled by the warning that was warned against by Swedenborg in the 18th century, man who spoke with angels. We know them to be fallen angels. And he warned them. He warned us that all they do is lie. That care to be taken. And then from then, angels in the 18th century, they went silent for a while. And then reappeared again in 1870s with Helena Blavatsky. You see how it worked? Amazing. They brought the first phase of the New Age movement, Helena Blavatsky. But what's the most amazing thing? Is the Council of Foreign Relations today is a member of the Round Table of the Council of Foreign Relations, Royal Institute of International Affairs in London, the United Nations highest level of organization and representatives, Gorbachev Foundation, the Club of Rome, the Bilderberg Group, and the Trilateral Commission sit on a round table. Representatives, and of course they have their separate meetings as well. They bring these objectives, which I'll be talking about here shortly, together, and they discuss, think tank it out, brainstorm it, and then they're still lower level, will submit their findings, recommendations, and ideas to the Committee of the 300, which are Illuminati, Italian, German, Jews, a whole lot of them, Jesuits. But they're all bloodline, not Jesuits, but they're all bloodline. Committee of the 300, Council of the 7, Council of the 33, Council of the 13. These are bloodline members. Then it goes higher. Well, the 10 points or so of Alice Bailey, which I've covered last week and a little bit today, tells the Council of Foreign Relations, the Rolling Institute of National Affairs, everybody on the round table, what to do. The priesthood is in control of all those groups in the round table. And the Illuminati, because they determine the objectives from the fallen angels. Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, dictates what our governments are going to do. You understand this? So you got Hillary Clinton says, well, you know, I'm glad we have a Council of Foreign Relations down near the State Department to tell us what we need to do. Well, Dallas Bailey's plans tells the CFR what to do. Y'all see the implication on this, how massive this is, how important. You never think that the work that Alice Bailey did and Helena Blavatsky and the third phase was Michael Aquino in the state and the Pentagon, founder of SET, the Satanic Temple, would tell the government, our government, what to do. But they do. And the Freemasons are little worker bees. That's all they are. At the highest level, you can't get no higher. What are the basic concepts, the basic premise of the protocols? That the ends justify the means. And I'm going to talk about that. I've mentioned many times that they've used the Jews as a scapegoat. And they have. And you do have some Jews called the tribe of Dan, the 13th tribe, the tribe thrown out of the 12 tribes at the very beginning of Jacob and Isaac. Because of their attitude, the invasions they did, and so forth, they got disinherited. Tribe of Dan. Fallen angels found a weakness. You see how it works? Like they found a weakness in Cush and Ham came Nimrod. They found a weakness in the tribe of Dan. They capitalized on all those weaknesses. They found a weakness in Eve. Eve found a weakness in Adam, and both failed. You see how it works? The weakness of the Albanians was they needed a homeland. The weakness of the Serbs was to get a homeland back. The weakness of the Americans in the religious freedom, because they were being murdered. You see, and the weakness of the blacks was to have freedom, for goodness sakes, because the whites enslaved them, beat them, raped them, and DNA manipulation to make better slaves in the Bible Belt. God's holding us responsible for that. He's going to put us underwater in the South. God's not going to let that get by. It ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. Sins rest upon the offspring. So, God don't forget nothing. He don't forget anything at all. Everything's been done through the entire lineage of mankind. Mankind will be held accountable. And the one thing is for the individual to repent of their sins and accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Because this world is going down. No way around it. So in the meantime, by knowing some of the premises, you know who the enemy really is. No, it's the bankers. We need to go get the bankers. Oh, here we go. See. Okay, Jones. The bankers. All right, everybody go get the bankers. Hey, go get the bankers. You're going to round them all up. Which ones are Freemasons? Which ones are not? Which ones are Jesuits? Which ones? You know, they people don't think. Rah, rah, rah. Go get the bankers. And then when you're done, you just turn off the radio or TV and say, well, we talked about it. And then you go back to your business. Oh, it's ridiculous. And then if they really do something about it, then it becomes a mob. Becomes a lynch party. And some people die for nothing. That's called the Inquisition. Hint, hint. You see how it works? What's the basic premise of the protocols? It was designed by Adam Weishaupt, who was channeled by the fallen angels. And they picked a Jesuit because that's the group that does it. Okay, that being said, they first start off with the premise that Goyim, that be us, are mentally inferior to Jews. That is the premise. That is the scapegoat that they're using, Jews. Because Jews, the Hebrew Jews that's caught in the middle of this, are the ones targeted, what Satan wants in the first place. But see, they'll never touch 144,000. They'll never find the bloodline that led to them. Never happened. Because they have a role in the end times, by the way. It's carried down from bloodline to bloodline. They know who they are. God's got them hidden. Always has. For the sake, the idea that they're thinking is they need to abolish the governments, replace them with a single government. We know what that is, don't we? That'll take a long time, they say, and involve much bloodshed, as they'd already planned. But they say, quote, it's for a good cause. Here's what we'll need to do. Okay, are you ready? First, what we do. We place our agents and helpers everywhere. Have I not told y'all about the fifth column strategy that he uses? That you come inside the castle, you come inside the country, and you become members of its politic, its arts, its economics, its religions, its science, its educational facility. You place your agents inside. That's what Lawrence of Arabia and Hitler were for the Arabs, to find out. Once they put them on ice for a while, then they go back and find out because they were targeted. And then they formed the Muslim Brotherhood in 1920s. Except Lawrence of Arabia was not forthcoming. He had a motorcycle accident, didn't he, when he came back in 1930s. Imagine that. And so, They place their agents and helpers everywhere before the assault. Number two, to take control of the media and use it in propaganda for our plans. In research I did, I do research outside of whatever I read. I never take one source, ever, never, never. I read in the Rockefeller File by Gary Allen, whom I trust, 1976, he said, I quote, "With money, the Rockefellers gained control of the media. With the media, the family gained control over public opinion. And with control over public opinion, they gained control of politics. And with control of politics, they're taking control of the nation." Well, England did the same thing. They all do the same thing in every country. It's not just America. Take control of the media and use it in propaganda for our purposes. But the most astounding, control of the media, was in 1915, the same year that Samuel Bush was a party to the formation of the world of the War Industries Board, the forerunner of the military-industrial complex, in 1915. Well, the same year, congressional records confirm I'll tell you what they confirm. let's see what we got here. It just popped in my head about this. I told you, I'm kind of putting things together as I go along. Congressional records confirm that J.P. Morgan, in 1915, did a study, got folks together on high level, to determine how to control the nation. Control the media. They determined all that was necessary in March of 1915, and what congressional records confirm is the following word for word. In March 1915, the J.P. Morgan interest, steel, shipbuilding, and powder interest, and their subsidiary organizations got together 12 men high up in the newspaper world and employed them to select the most influential newspapers in the United States and sufficient number of them to control generally the policy of the daily press of the United States. Quote, also, they found it was only necessary to purchase the control of 25 of the greatest papers, an editor was furnished for each paper to properly supervise and edit information regarding the questions of preparedness, militarism, financial policies, other things of national and international nature considered vital to the interests of the purchasers. This policy also included suppression of everything in opposition to the wishes of the interests served, unquote. So, that continued. 25 papers were hired. What happened to freedom of the press? It was bought out. And in 1921, Rockefellers formed the Council of Foreign Relations and then took up under its banner, among a lot of other things, media CFR members. So as technology increased, they encompassed and brought in Illuminati members. Did you know that in 1994-93, members of the Illuminati, liars in the news and media, was John Connor, Diane Sawyer, Barbara Walters, John Skelly, CNN, ABC, CBS, Don Rather, Frank Stanton, NBC, you had John Welch, Peter Peterson, Jane Pfeiffer, Levine, Irvin Levine, John Chancellor, Tom Brokaw, David Brinkley, I got them mixed up, didn't I? David Brinkley and Tom Brokaw. That's mind-boggling, family. All that time, you think they're on your side. And they weren't at all. Time Magazine with Strobe Talbot. Georgia Ann Geyer. We're all Illuminati. I got a whole list. I got about half dozens and dozens here. All this time. Amazing, isn't it? That's what they did. And it goes on today. Number three, start fights between different races, classes, and religions. Do you think they're doing that today? Is that a trick question? Yeah, that was a trick question. You see, the fundamental principle of the Satanic Illuminati is to divide races, religions, political groups, social classes, nationalities, make them fight each other so they become weak in manpower and ruined economically. It leads them toward internationalism. Oh, there's more of us than them. We'll defeat the Illuminati. You see, they don't know about this. They don't know how they're divided up. And you can't get people to listen. They just won't listen. They won't listen. If they all stopped fighting and realized who the enemy was, it'd be delayed. It'll never be stopped because judgment's coming. It's been delayed, gosh, how many centuries since Nimrod? Since Nimrod! It's going by the book. Number four, use bribery, threats, blackmail to get our way. William G. Carr talks about that. He gave a definition. I didn't say definition, did I? I think I did. He gave a definition of what's called the Black Book back in 1955 in his Red Fog Over America. He said the Black Book that they maintain was a book in which the directors of the international conspiracy, which we're talking about, kept a record of the private lives of influential people, together with a detailed report of their characteristics, faults, and failings. The information is used to persuade people into doing the bidding of the conspirators, either because of fear of exposure or for the sake of obtaining more luxury and material rewards. Let me put this in graphic terms. Colleges is recruiting grounds. That's what they're for. Sandusky times 10,000. Sandusky was just one of many. Sacrificial lamb. Every college university has got Sanduskys throughout them. They pick your scholars. They pick those that's coming into the secret society and say, we want you to do something for us. We want you to seduce so-and-so. We're going to have you at the party. This is what really happens. Or they'll offer a bank president or a hospital president or somebody in control, they'll offer them benefits, or they'll set them up with a male prostitute or a female prostitute and college girl or something from a sorority. And they got them, man, hook, line, and sneaker. And then when that doesn't work and they get a case of the principles and they're important, they have something else for them. It's called a nihilist. Defined. the executioners, used by all conspirators who aspire to control of a world dictatorship. History reveals that these assassins are to be found in all classes of society. They try, if possible, to make the murders they commit look like accidents, suicides, or natural deaths, unquote. They start training these nihilists from the time they kidnap them or have them breeded to the time they commit the murders. Oh, Tom, you saw that in the movies. Yep. And that's where they show you in open, right in front of your face, movies, fictional books, so that when we mention it, oh, man, you saw that in the movie. Come on. That's how they do it. Isn't that amazing? It's just absolutely amazing. Bribery, threats, and blackmail to get their way. Number five. Oh, you'll love this one. Use Freemasonic lodges to attract potential public officials. They had a ELF transmitter that was placed on a Knights of Columbus building one time, as talked about, targeting the town. They conduct all their drug trades and everything else in Masonic temples and lodges. Human trafficking, whatever, is right there. Using Freemasonic lodges. I got a bunch of these. Here we go. Number six, appeal to successful people's egos. I'm just putting this together as I'm going along. You don't mind, do you? Appeal to their egos. What am I talking about here? I got something for that, too. My little file system here. This is the world system. What's it talking about here? Well, Satan, supernaturally, has set up a world system based on pride, ambition, selfishness, greed, and sinful pleasures. And so what he's done, it includes commerce, politics, religion, education, entertainment, world kingdoms, world organizations, and many other things. And through this world system, Satan has offered people power, riches, possessions, worldly honors, intellectual achievement, social prestige, as well as all kinds of sinful pleasures. About anything you want. Thus make satisfied to remain under his rule and believe God, take God out of their lives. That's how it's really done. Is this so foreign and away from what we're taught in day-to-day life? And friends you know tomorrow you'll talk to have no idea about this. Not a clue, man. How this all conspired. Appeal to successful people's ego. Appoint puppet leaders who can be controlled by blackmail. I don't have to explain that one. You all are savvy on that. And the puppet leaders get a little bit feisty and they take too much power that God turns them over to power lust and their plan falls apart. Imagine that, huh? They take out the puppet leaders. You know how they do that? They vilify them. They're committing atrocities in their country. We got to fight for freedom, for their freedom, deliver democracy to this little country. Us Marines would say, you mean they were killing babies in incubators? Let's go get them. When they weren't, it was a lie all along. Srebrenica, they're murdering men, women, and children? Well, the Rockefellers did, that's for sure. But they didn't in Iraq. Now, Pol Pot did, and all the rest of them, but there was no babies in incubators being killed. That was a lie. Srebrenica was a lie, too, in Bosnia. It was a lie to justify us going into Kosovo, to the Balkans. It wasn't true. Rakovica was also a lie. Number 8. Replace the royal rule with socialist rule, then communism, then despotism. That's exactly what they're doing. The royal rule, the coronation oath, the socialist rule, then communism, and then despotism, in that order. Number 9, abolish all rights and freedoms except the right of force by us. That's a given. Number 10, rights and freedoms. First, you got to give them rights and freedoms so you can take it away. That's what the Declaration of Independence was all about. That was removed a long time ago. Number 9 was abolished. That was it. Number 10, sacrifice people, including Jews sometimes, when necessary. Well, that goes without saying. And make sure it's on April the 19th or April the 20th. How about that? That's what they do. Eliminate religion. Replace it with science and materialism. NAACP, ACLU, race issues, religion issues, that's how they do it. Sue for their rights, get rid of the Ten Commandments, put a satanic Baphomet up there. Freemasons allow it to happen, play the silly game. That's exactly what's going on. This is so surreal to know this and see it happening and nobody knows. It just kills me, man. Number 12, control the education system to spread deception and destroy intellect. Boy, has that not worked perfectly. That's why the Masonic Order has been controlling education. John Dewey was a humanist. Horace Mann was a humanist. You think they've accomplished that? Well, I don't know. Let's see. I do know. I'm messing with you. Let's give you some statistics on this. Oh, look at there. Charles Francis Potter, a humanist, by the way, in 1930. Education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. Every American public school is a school of humanism. Unquote. Charles Francis Potter. And to show you continuity, 59 years later, Roger Kimball said, and I quote, with a few notable exceptions, our most prestigious liberal arts colleges and universities have installed the entire radical Marxist and humanist menu at the center of the humanities curriculum at both undergraduate and graduate levels, unquote. I got many more quotes confirming what I'm saying right now. Right under our noses. Charlotte Iserby, during the Reagan administration, they're all in on it. She confirms that by Reagan's time. Number 13, as if you didn't know, rewrite history to our benefit. All of history has been rewritten. History is worthless. That goes without saying. A lot of you already know that. 14, create entertaining distractions. Well, I'd like to continue on, but I really want to watch Kardashian tonight. So I'd really have to just quit the broadcast because I really want to see Kardashian do whatever she wants to do, right? You don't mind, do you? You all mind if I just stop here now and so I won't miss Kardashian? You see, all about Kardashian, all about one movie star or another, who they're married to, how they got pregnant, what they're wearing as they do their picture taking on those billboard things. Freaking out and dying at 25 to 27 years old, the 27 Club. Had two now to go out on that one recently. They always die in threes. It's almost getting boring in a way that you can predict what's going to happen next, just about. Entertaining distractions. Your favorite movie star getting thrown in jail for drunken driving, something, I don't know what. Or dying, or somebody in their family dies because they go ahead and agree that somebody in their family has to die for them to move up. That's the truth. Entertaining distractions, say the least. Number 15, corrupt the mind with filth and perversion. Well, that goes right along with 21 Goals and Illuminati. They found in 1919. Corrupt the young, get them away from religion, get them interested in sex, make them superficial, and destroy their ruggedness. That was found in May of 1919 at Dusseldorf, Germany, when the Allied forces, after World War I, obtained a copy of the Communist Rules for Revolution. 84 years later, they've never succeeded in every one of them. Divide people in hostile groups by constantly harping on controversial matters of no importance. There's your water in your sand. At the highest level, it is. It's amazing how they put this thing together. It's just, I learn something new every time I study this. It's just unbelievable. And people just shut off and they go watch Dancing with the Stars or whatever they do, and then they go about just forming it the whole time. Amazing. Corrupt the minds with filth and perversion. Number 16, encourage people to spy on one another. You ever heard of Facebook? MySpace? Man, that is a smorgasbord of intelligence. It was genius what they did. Absolute genius. Connections just laid on a silver platter, man. Oh, man. So they write, did you see what John was doing? As if somebody's not going to read a private message. Yeah, send me a private email. Send me a private message. I'm going to message you privately. You got to be kidding me. I actually believe it's private. Oh, it goes right in the NSA, man, in their file. It's perfect. It's like silver platter. Right there it is. Turkey on a biscuit. Woo, there you go. All connections made. I unfriended them. Yes, they didn't already figure it out. I unfriended them. I unfriend you. It's too much. I ain't going to start laughing. Anyway. Number 17, this is common, keep the masses in poverty and perpetual labor. I don't have to explain that one, do I? Middle-class family, you're being drugged down. Homestead law, reduce taxes for those that live in separate domiciles, man in one house, woman in another, as divide the families up. School loans keep you in poverty. Car, house, apartment. Doodads, knickknacks, and paddywhacks, and all kinds of other things keep you in debt. Keep the masses in poverty and perpetual labor. Number 18. Take possession of all wealth, property, and especially gold. You know when they formed the Zionist movement? Herzl wrote in his diary that the Zionist movement was to liquidate all Jewish wealth. The patent office is to find any inventions that you're going to set up and use that they is going to outshine them. They want to know about it. So they made the patent office. That way when you file out a patent, they'll say, what's it? Oh, man, this is what? It's a better mousetrap. There it comes, thing floats, flies, and everything else. It draws, it calls the rats. All right, we need to stop. You go in there and approach this guy. Where's he go? Let's find out where he goes. That's what they do. That's exactly how it works. There's no such thing as free enterprise. It is not in America. Well, it is because a little girl got a pair of shoes. No, she's backed by, that's a facade to make it look like she did. It's not true. The patent office is to monitor any kind of patents. There's a patent that was done up back in the 80s. Forgot the guy's name off the top of my head. And he came up with this device. He's an engineer that would burn hydrogen. It took hydrogen out of water for cars. Yeah, and a lot of water. I mean, a lot of miles and a little bit of water. Well, they offered him $1 billion for his patent. He turned it down. No, I want this for American people. I'll make it cheap. I won't give it to them. They murdered him and his partner. That's how they do it. That's the reality of our free enterprise system worldwide. They don't want anybody, not part of their secret societies, to become a billionaire, millionaire. The Zionist movement was to liquidate Jewish wealth. The Masons are taught that. This is where the pyramid scheme comes from. Amway is Freemasonic. Freemasons. That's how they do it. All the pyramid schemes is made by the Freemasons to take your money. Make sure you don't win nothing. You don't keep nothing. Anything. Number 18. That was 18. Number 19. Use gold to manipulate the markets, cause depressions, recessions, and inflationary periods. Lindbergh figured this out. Lindbergh's baby was killed. McKinley figured this out. He was assassinated. Take possession of all wealth, property, and especially gold. Why gold? Since we have the time, and let me tell you the deep, dark secret about this wealth issue. The wealth issue of, see, there's no money in God's kingdom. It's about us doing each other a good deed. And if they don't do a good deed back, that's okay. Forgive debts, is it okay? You say it works. So where did wealth come from? You can't buy or sell without some doodad that's got to trade off to somebody else. Whether it's gold, silver, coin, dollars, whatever. All the way back to time. Let me tell you the secret. Here's the real secret. For the fallen angels to come into this world from the supernatural realm of the second heaven, they require the invocations, the sacrifice of human beings, manipulation of alchemy, copper, gold, somehow put together by a series of formulas, invocations, rituals, to open up portals for them to come in this world. Excuse me. Gold and copper, tin, crystals are a big part of it, and blood. Human sacrifice, the energy maintained from that, and disaster. Somehow it causes energy rifts. Alchemy. So, supernatural beings can't dig. They just fly around like witches in a broomstick. They're called orbs. So they get man to do it for them. How do you get man to dig for you and really want to? Well, you come up with wealth. Mark of the beast, it goes back centuries upon centuries. You can't buy or sell without currency. Oh, light bulbs coming on. So to get them to dig up for us, because the Garden of Eden is no longer around with the necessary elements, and the elements are scattered, we'll get mankind to dig it up for us. How we do that? Well, we make the wealth coming from the ground. Man will dig it out of the ground so we can use it in our rituals. And now you got it? That's the purpose of it, for witchcraft. That's why people use the copper wire. That's why they use the copper, the bronze, and all this stuff. I don't understand. I didn't go deep into the alchemy of it. It intermeshes with the earth magic, with the ley lines, full moon, and all this other Gemini and Libra and all this other stuff, forms energy rifts, power structures, and they only have a certain small period of time they can perform their rituals. Sometimes with some rituals, if they miss it, they got to wait 100 years. You see how it works? In your graveyard seances, only between the hours of 2 and 3 in the morning. Not just any time they want to, and only on a full moon. It causes energy rifts. Blood transference. It's alchemy. That's why they want to take possession of diamonds and gold and all this. It's for the alchemy. That's why the North American continent is so valuable to them. because North American continent has all the elements in it. Salt, big in witchcraft. Gold, diamonds, everything is America. It's supposed to be the new Atlantis. Now you know why. So they take money that's worthless and say, well, this is worth gold, but we keep gold for you. Sure. They use it for alchemy. Number 19, use gold to manipulate the markets, cause depressions, and so forth. I covered that. Number 20, introduce a progressive tax on wealth. Obviously, control the wealth. Fulfills all the other requirements. Number 21, replace sound investment with speculation. Stock market. I don't have to tell you about that now, do I? You got that one already. Number 22, make long-term interest-bearing loans to governments. Now, that sounds nebulous, does it not? Make long-term interest-bearing loans to governments. You know what that means? That means they don't take the loans. You vilify the leader, the president, whatever, with a revolution. Kill thousands or millions. And then you put someone in there that's going to take that interest-bearing loan. Lincoln refused to. He was going to coin our own money. He was working with the Tsar of Russia to defeat the Illuminati, the Romanovs, and the Congress of Vienna. The Romanovs torpedoed the Rothschilds' plans for world government. They swore blood vengeance in the 1860s. And the Tsar of Russia sent Russian warships, to San Francisco, Savannah, Georgia, and New York to tell the Rothschilds, don't even think about it. Well, that really ticked them off, too. In 1917, they finally got the revenge on the Romanovs, wiped out the entire family because of that. Had to assassinate Lincoln because they got torpedoed. See what happened? Wow. So Johnson took the loans. That's what happened. So when Chile don't want to take the loans, you cause an earthquake, destroy the city. That's exactly what happened. Chavez won't do it. Get him out of there. Give him cancer. The Shah was put in over Moshe. Was that his name? See how it works? They brought Saddam Hussein. It's all part of the plan. Got rid of the Shah, brought in Khomeini because the Shah got a little too involved in where he shouldn't have been. So replaced him with Khomeini. That's a meany thing to do, wasn't it? Then to cause conflict, they brought in Saddam, who's a Freemason. CIA brought him in. You see how this works? Really? It's amazing. That's what long-term investment-bearing loans to governments means. If they don't do it, you start a war, and you send the Marines in, whoever, to take out this despotic, evil government. Grenada, now you got the idea. Haiti. How about those things, huh? Isn't that amazing how history is so messed up? I wish, that people could understand this. I wish I somehow could get out to people really what's going on. You see this happening, you just wish everybody would know it. That's what they used General Butler for back in the day for Standard Oil in Haiti, Nicaragua, the Banana Wars, they called them. All that was for money. People's lives for money. All of Arlington. Every dead body, every dead soldier, Marine, sailor, Air Force, all of them, every single one in Arlington was because of this. I mean, there's no exception. Every single one. All of them. No exception. You understand the implications of what I've just said? Number 23, give bad advice to governments and everyone else. Now, what they do next is ingenious. You show the worthlessness of all governments, how worthless your government is in every government. And you start showing it with your so-called truth tellers. I am going to tell the truth that, you know. And he lives to do it. Snowden, Assange, Manning, Jones. I mean, all these. I'm telling the truth. I'm finding the truth. And those that are real truth tellers are subjugated, controlled, or murdered. Senator Schaefer, Bill Cooper, Aaron Russo, Larry McDonald. The real ones are murdered. The others are not. And the ones that's not murdered and telling the truth, they're put at the highest level, have all the backing, all the TV, all the, and the rest of us, you only have a local channel or a local something or other. That's how it really works. So eventually the goyim, that's us, will be so angry with their governments because they'll blame them for the resulting mess that they'll gladly have us take over. Meaning the New World Order will gladly take over these worthless governments, worthless police departments. We need an actual government. We need an actual police force. Look how bad these cops are. You see how it works? They'll then appoint the descendant of David to be king of the world, and remaining goyim will bow down and sing his praises. Everyone will live in peace and obedient order until under his glorious rule. Did you hear what I said? We will then appoint a descendant of David to be king of the world. That's Antichrist. I say you'll come from the tribe of Dan. You'll have to be a human body, a hybrid, to receive the manifestation of Satan within him. The false prophet is a fallen angel named Sanan Emmanuel. They call him Yeshua all across the board. Not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's the one we think is Jesus. The pictures is Sanan Emmanuel, the fallen angel. Will announce the coming of the Antichrist, who will be descendant of David. The Antichrist. So to get everybody on the same sheet of music, it'd have to be Sananda, because I know for a fact that one's called Sananda Manuel, Maitreya, Kalki Avatar, the Imam Mahdi, Krishna, Bodhisattva, the Christ, the Prince of Peace. He'll fill all seven places in one man or one fallen angel. Will lead the way for the Antichrist to the descendant of David. The first Jew was Abraham. So much so that God had to move away from the rest of the family. Established Ishmael. Oops, that was an oops. And then, of course, the real one was Isaac. Down to Jacob. 12 tribes. Somehow or another, Sanan Emmanuel snuck in there on the tribe of Dan. That's why the Merovingian bloodline believe that they're descendants of Jesus Christ. But the Jesus Christ they say is Jesus Christ is not. It's Sanan Emmanuel, intermingled with the blood of some woman that they want to call Mary, and that established the bloodline, the Merovingian bloodline. Ho, ho, ho. They say that Jesus never died on the cross. Our Jesus did, but their Jesus took up the slate. That's where Leonardo da Vinci came from. I know for a fact Leonardo da Vinci in the Illuminati textbook is an avatar. Leonardo da Vinci drew up the Last Supper and the fake image of Jesus Christ as we think he is. Boy, this is heavy what I'm saying. I don't know how many people are catching on to this, but God, this is heavy stuff. So when they say that they're descendants of Jesus Christ, if they really believe that, they're actually descendants of Sanan Emmanuel. And this woman that they call Mary laid the bloodline for the Merovingian bloodline you have today. Mm-mm-mm. That is the basic premise of the protocols, and the end that justifies the means, as they look at it, is a very simplified version of the protocols. What do you do with all this? You know, sometimes you can't talk to other people about this unless you really know what you're talking about or you have your evidence ready. They just think you're crazy. And then when you say, well, I don't, I'm not, and I'm going to show you. You want to see the evidence? Well, they're going to disappoint you every time. You know why? Because they say, no, we don't want to see the evidence. I don't want to see it. You're just crazy. Leave me alone. Go away. Shoo. And then what happens? So only a small remnant knows this whole story. What do you do with it? You learn what to stay away from. What to pray against. So you don't be fooled. It's to give you rest. That you're doing the right thing. And then those that God knows you can influence, He'll bring them to you. So you can do what? Influence them. Well, did you know that there's a time that's going to come when we're going to face a very unpleasant fact for some people? That if God is a reality, then Satan is a reality also. No way around it. Satan is Lucifer. They're trying to say that Lucifer and Satan are different. Satan is Jesus and Lucifer is a good guy. If Satan had the power to tempt Christ himself, or at least pretend he did, then he also has the power to promise other men the whole world if they would adore him and serve him. You know, the ministers of the Christian religion, they preach the commandments of God in their churches one day a week. The priests of Satan work day and night throughout the year teaching the inversion of the commandments of God. Every single day, every college, every university, every high school, every day. And even on weekends with the TV. Or comic books or whatever. While most Christian ministers, they confine their activities to within their churches. The agents of the devil are at work everywhere. Christian ministers, others, spend 1 hour, maybe 20 minutes really, delivering a message. One time a week. If it's on Wednesdays, it's twice. A 20-minute speech or something about religion and maybe. About Jesus Christ. You see it? Wow. See, the Illuminati are not atheists. They believe in the supernatural. And their insane hatred of God. They believe in Satan. Because of it. Just as we believe in God. You know, it's kind of sad to have to admit that those who are inclined to evil are more loyal to the devil than those of us who are inclined to good, who are loyal to God. You know, those who have espoused the cause of Satan work every waking hour to spread their civil influence among the rest of mankind. You know what they do on the Facebook? This is clever. They find out who's the one leading it or the main guys on it. Then they'll make friends with them, the ones on the Facebook. And then what they'll do is they'll play nice with you, but then they find out who's the friends and all that, and then they'll go behind your back and start passing out their nonsense, like the tribulations, what the seals are, the tribulation, the trumpets. That happened to me today. It is common, though. Oh. There's one called, I might as well tell you about that. There's one called Revelation End Times Deceptions. The owner of it, somebody named David or something. Don't have a last name on it, so I can't assume. And it talks about the Revelation Seals, Trumpets, and Bowls timeline. So I said, okay. I looked at it, and this person had made friends and all that, and talking, oh, I love the Lord and all this and all that. Well, it was brought to my attention today that this person was sending this website to people that were friends. Never mentioned to me at all. Knew what I thought about the seals. And never said a word about it. I'm going to give you one. The first seal in the Bible is what? The Antichrist. Jesus Christ comes to Armageddon on a white horse with a sword. I mean, he's coming to kick some butt. But the Antichrist is coming with a sword, with a bow and no arrow. It means he's not here for war. He's here to win people over. The Antichrist, first seal. Well, I went to this site and I said, well, okay, how bad can this be? I just read the first seal. He says here, whoever it is, says the first seal is the white horse, represents Christ going forth on his victorious mission of taking control of countries with his gospel, of avenging the martyr's death by causing the Roman Empire to collapse during the rest of the sealed judgments. Christ is overthrowing the greatest power the world has ever known, and the mighty Roman Empire, and he's doing it not with weapons, but with the sword of his word. That's not the first seal. That goes... Second seal gets worse. Talks about what's already happened. So I got to reading the whole thing is a Calvinist idea that all the tribulations have already been done. So it's over. Man, I didn't even finish. Okay. We're back on. I'll see what happened. Did you get stuck in the loop there? Let's see what we got going on here. I'm on air, so you should be... Yeah, you should be back online. Oh, what happened there? Anyway, what was the last word you heard me say? Anyway, that's... I think I've got it on recording anyway, if you missed it. Yeah, you should be back on this time. Thank you for notifying me. Satanism is a very real thing. But you know, the Illuminists, Illuminati, are not atheists. They believe in Satan. They follow him. And they spend every waking moment waiting for his return, waiting for his appearance, once and for all. The scriptures tell us in the stories that the name of Jesus, every knee will bend, every head shall bow. It's very different from the way the name of Jesus is now coupled with the worst four-letter words that issue from the lips of human beings nowadays. They do their evil work. In all the public places, in the streets and offices and beverage rooms and clubs and everywhere. But they're talking there about the first seal is Jesus Christ. No, the first seal is the Antichrist. They get it all backwards in that website. Completely backwards. Everything's wrong. So I sent out the warning for that website. But the thing about it was the person made like, oh, I love the Lord and I like your broadcast. I like this. I like that. But then I had some people say, Tom, what do you think about this website? And talking about the seals and trumpets. I looked at it. It took me about 5 minutes at least or less. I said, oh, man, run from this one. And then I started looking at it. It said David on it. I said, whoa, 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 wait a minute here. And then I found out who it was. That was clever, man. That was sneaky. how they do that behind your back. So they go behind your back and get with your friends and your followers and send them these links while you don't even know about it until somebody mentions something. You know, Satanism is a very real thing. Christian laymen must unite to crusade against the followers of Satan. But you know, the signs on buildings in California back in the 50s and 60s would read, some of them, "We worship Satan." Satan's been listened to and worshipped ever since Adam and Eve fell from grace. Satan listened to every time some human being falls from grace, regardless of what psychiatrists may say. All those who worship Mammon worship Satan. Mammon is money, but Mammon is also a demon of money. The followers of Satan claim that he is the eldest son of God, the Father. Sounds like Jehovah's Witness, don't it, or Mormons. Then Christ is the youngest son. They insist that Satanism is right and Christianity is wrong. Well, Christianity itself is wrong because you have so many different sects of religion. And Christianity, you can't keep up with it. See, Jesus Christ is not about Christianity, actually. If you say, well, yeah, he is. Well, then you have to say, well, which sect of it are you talking about here now? Because they're all different. You see how it works? So, you know, there's a book out that goes back a long time ago. Most people would be shocked by witchcraft ceremonies, include men and women dancing in the nude, praying to a horned god, that's Satan, and stimulation through wine and music and drumming. The drums are seriously black mass. Aleister Crowley, all this stuff. It's not just interesting kind of hokey-pokey stuff on the internet. This is real. The full armor of God. Praying. Fasting. And getting ready. Well, I wanted to cover a few other subjects here. You know that Luther, Martin Luther, was intolerant. He decreed, whoever teaches otherwise than I teach condemns God and must remain a child of hell. Martin Luther was a Jesuit too, by the way. Under Henry VIII, the Grand Inquisitor, 72,000 Catholics were executed. Many of them were murdered atrociously by torture. Another historian called Cobbett said that the good Queen Bess put to death more persons in 1 year than the Inquisition did in the whole duration of its 331 years. Dr. Schaff said that the religious persecution, even unto death, continued long after Reformation. In Geneva, that's where Calvinism was born, the church and state used torture. Calvin even sanctioned forcing children to give evidence against their own parents. John Calvin. Calvin received a letter from a man named Farrell, dated September the 8th, 1533. It said, quote, "Some people do not wish us to prosecute heretics because the Pope condemns the faithful, i.e. the Huguenots, for the crime of heresy. It is absurd that to conclude that we must not put to death heretics in order to strengthen the faithful." In 1545, John Calvin wrote, quote, "If Servetus comes to Geneva, I will never allow him to depart alive." Servetus was burned alive October 27, 1553. There's John Calvin. an old name of Brock Chisholm keeps popping up everywhere I do my research. That boy was into everything like Dennis the Menace. Brock Chisholm, 1948-1953. Director of the World Health Organization back then. You have the manner in which lesser Jews were herded into the ghettos. We talked about this. Enabled the satanic despots to make them think and do whatever they wanted, told them to do so. And after all, the wealthy Jews and elders exercised the power of life and death over the lesser brethren. Well, the quarrel really is not with lesser Jews. It's with the small number of men who pretend to be Jews while they're actual fact followers of Satan, synagogue of Satan. A deal in the Talmud. So, anti-Semitism, hating Jews, is formed by the Jews and the Jesuits because it plays right into the hands of Illuminati, the high priest of Satan. They have to get a great deal of satisfaction to know that Jews are blamed for the crimes against humanity. That is so significant. It's exactly what they want. Many Gentiles and Jews, especially in this Christian identity program, swallow that bait that Jews are the evil. You know, in 1954, more Jews were converted to the Christian religion than any other year in recent times back then. They haven't said nothing yet. But it's going to have to come to the tribulations. So, so we're just about 2 hours long here, just about. You know, on the back of your dollar bill, now that you've been with me for a while, that you've heard me talk and all, you'll make more sense now. When you talk about the back of the dollar bill, how that's been set up, did you know that the significance of the design on the back of the dollar bill goes back to May the 1st, 1776, that the pyramid in the back of your dollar bill, that represents the conspiracy for destruction of the Catholic Church. So destruction of the Catholic Church, falling away of the Catholic Church, orchestrated by the Jesuits and Illuminati, will bring in the New Age movement. Teilhard de Chardin is a Jesuit priest, his father of the New Age movement. The mother is Helena Blavatsky. See how it works? So the identifying the Catholic Church as the Antichrist or the false prophet is beneficial for them. So when it crashes, who comes next? It's not Emmanuel. That's why they're orchestrating the destruction of the Catholic Church. And the Catholics don't know this yet. They don't have no idea. And that's to lead to establishment of the one world, the UN dictatorship. The all-spying eye that all your movie stars and dancers, songwriters do the old OK sign over one eye. All that is very significant. Novus Ordo Seclutum, on the back of your dollar bill, it means a new social order or new deal. Enuit Septas means our enterprise, our conspiracy has been crowned with success. And the merger of the Order of the Illuminati into Congress of Hemsbad with Masonic happened in 1782 in Congress of Hemsbad. All that came together in that period of time. Amazing stuff. It really is. But I wouldn't get caught up in it because they're not going to be around long. Once this gets kicking, Psalms 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked. You know, John D. Rockefeller, he took one man named Mackenzie King into Rockefeller's organization in 1914. Everything the Rockefellers did to extend their fortune and power seemed to arouse the hatred of the people. So John D. needed a man like we call Mackenzie King to teach his sons how to exploit the peasantry of the United States. What they did was, in 1914, the employees of the Colorado Fuel and Iron Company in Ludlow went on strike for improved working conditions, increased wages. Rockefeller's thugs, supported by the militia, fired on employees and set fire on tents occupied by the wives and children. 44 men, women, and children were shot or burned to death. What was ever done? Nothing. Y'all getting the idea here? I tell you, God's going to have a heyday when this comes down. He's not going to put up with this. All they're doing is building a long list of punishments coming their way. It's going to bust. It's not going to last much longer. That you can rest assured. But in the meantime, you got to stay strong. You got to hang in there. You got to be patient. Plead the blood of Jesus around you. Pray on the full armor of God. That's really the bottom line. And stay to the end. You know, supposing international bankers was to decide at any time from now onwards, for example, that's how they work, that they will try a sneak attack to obtain final and undisputed control of the world's affairs in some way. Well, this is their announced intention, repeatedly reiterated in the protocols. So the agent tour in America could stimulate a fake attack, which they would provide the excuse for the president to put into effect a military dictatorship. An all-out attack would then be launched on the communist-controlled countries. Those who direct the attack would announce that it was justified because of retaliation for aggressive action by the communists to save the world for Christianity and to keep America free. That would be the lie they're going to be telling, because they control both sides. And study this long-range plan that they've had for generations. It proves that in the final analysis, all nationalities, all races, all creeds will come under the despotism of one man who will be crowned as king of the world's dictatorship. He's referred to in the 10 articles and 22 paragraphs, the long-range plan that they got for the ultimate world conquest. Amazing how this is going to work. And yeah, I think you're going to be able to see it in this generation. It does appear so. But then again, who knows? It might last a little longer. Maybe it's not God's time yet. Well, family, I'm going to talk tomorrow about details about the Humanist Manifesto and some other issues and news and so forth. And we'll continue on. It's trying to get across this, getting this across to people. If it didn't participate, this thing would extend itself and give you time to witness to other people. Because I find myself now, after 5 years, focusing on the rocks and not the pebbles and not the sand and the water. The most important thing is about Jesus. The Great Commission. Ebola will come, Ebola will go. If you're with Jesus Christ, whatever. You understand? The United Nations will eventually take over America at some point in time. It's going to happen. Judgment is coming, just like Martin Luther King said it would. In some of his speeches in the 1960s. He warned us. Kennedy warned us. Even Eisenhower tried to in his own little way. All of them in some way try to warn, but they can't do too much because they'll know they'll die. And the ones that did, they died. I'm looking at maybe a different tack of how I'm going across these broadcasts about what can really work, you know, but people are looking for instant answers. They're looking about the fear, like a moth flying into the flame. Instead of flying away from it, they're flying into it. You got mentioned today earlier, Idaho, Nevada, and Hawaii. Gay marriage cases are heading to court. Little by little, chipping away. And the predictions, plans of Alice Bailey. It's not just Alice Bailey. It's that she was channeled by Lemuria, a fallen angel, on everything. They didn't figure this stuff out themselves. The 10-point plan by Alice Bailey, I may expound upon tomorrow. More detail. And give you some actual events that's taking place. But they get everybody so divided and not connecting the dots at the highest level. They're pulling the strings. But it's going to fall apart at some point in time. And they're going to wonder, uh-oh, we're not in control anymore. And then the supernatural raises ugly head and, oh, get ready. All right, family. Well, I tell you what. I went a little longer than I thought I was going to go tonight. It would have been 2 hours, but I almost didn't do it. Because I only had a handful of people tonight. And, of course, the largest group from Revelation Radio Network didn't show. They did, apparently, I still haven't gotten the notification, but some kind of mess up there. It's okay, though. So we kind of ad-libbed because it took a little bit of wind out of my sails, slightly. But family, solutions right now is what people are looking for about what to do. And so you know that they know that that's what they're doing. So they're going to try to provide what? The solutions. Except the wrong ones. From the frying pan into the fire. God's going to give you a voice to speak when the time comes. Right now is practice. So family, y'all hang in there. And just live your life, but not in fear. I'm going to conclude now, and it won't be a commercial. This is my broadcast tonight. I just went ahead and had it, and we went the whole 2 hours just about. Almost wasn't going to do it, though, as I said, but we did. So tonight, I'm going to think about what I talked about tonight, and then tomorrow we'll hit bright, fresh and early at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and give you some good stuff and talk about the news and what's really going on and talk a little bit more about Alice Bailey's 10 points and expound upon them. And knowledge of the Bible, memorizing verses, you're going to need them when the time comes. No matter where it's at. So y'all have a good night tonight. God bless y'all. And thank y'all for sticking around. And any reflections or any comments or recommendations or thoughts about what we talked about tonight, let me know. Otherwise, we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock on the Watchman for Jesus show program. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. This is your Watchman. I'm signing off. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes,
Every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.